So I do want to ask members, I want to ask your leave of the meeting to alter the Ghana acknowledgement tonight, but I need to have your leave for that so it is minuted. Thank you, Councillor Velescu. Councillor Atulfa seconding. Everyone in agreeance? So I'm just adding into it the acknowledgement. I'm enlarging it for tonight. Okay. So I want to acknowledge the Ghana people, the traditional custodians of this land, and I also want to acknowledge that last week the Federal Court approved an agreement between the Ghana people and the state government granting Ghana people land rights. Ghana people are now recognised as the traditional owners of the Adelaide metropolitan area. While this does not impact on the City of Marion, I would like to recognise this important decision, and also to pay our respects to the elders past and present. Okay. All right, so I welcome all people in attendance tonight and just need to advise you that there is an audio of this General Council meeting. It's recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. So do any elected members have any declarations of interest tonight? Councillor Hull?
Question. Look, it's just a formality, Madam Deputy Mayor, but you did have a motion up there. We really need to vote on it.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Hull. Was everyone in agreeance to the moving for leave of the meeting to alter the Ghana acknowledgement? That's carried by majority. Okay, now, I just need to remind members also tonight that we are light on numbers, that there have been a few people unable to attend tonight, that you have to restrict how many go out to the toilet at any time. One at a time is only it's allowed. We must have seven in the room at all times. Okay, so does anyone have any declarations of interest for any of the items tonight? No? All right, looking for at confirmation of the minutes. Do I have anyone to move? Thank you, Councillor Telfer. Seconded. Can I have a seconder for the minutes? Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Those against? Okay, it's carried. We're moving on to the communications. We have the Deputy Mayor report, elected member report, and CEO and executive report. Have I got someone to move them en bloc? Councillor Velescu, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, we now have, do we have verbals tonight? No verbals tonight, okay. All right. There's no adjourned items, no deputations, but we do have a petition tonight. Okay. Does anyone wish to move the petition, the recommendation regarding the petition? Councillor Velescu, seconder. Councillor Appleby, do you wish to talk to the recommendation?
Councillor Velescu? Just that we note the petition.
Sorry, say that
just
again.
Just that we note the petition.
Yeah. Are you agreeing with the three things that are in the minutes, or just wanting to note?
All pretty straightforward.
Okay. All those in favour? Question, yes, Councillor.
Madam Deputy Mayor, given the pushback by the community with this, and that this can happen, there are other sites. Is it possible to actually add another site to the possible sites to be
considered? We address that question when we get to that matter later in the evening?
If you can take that on board, that would be great.
Yes. Okay, all those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Councillor Villescu.
Your Worship, I noticed that there's a motion with notice in regards to the location of the dog park at Cadell Street. So I'm just wondering if I could move with leave of the meeting to bring that forward to be addressed now.
Do we have leave of the meeting to bring that one forward? Yes. All right, so this is on page 244. And it's a motion to remove Cadell Street Reserve from the dog park investigations. So I will move that motion, and I need a seconder for the motion, Councillor Villescu. So in talking to that motion, we had removed Cadell Street Reserve previously from the considerations of the dog park because of comment from residents. It was brought back in and put onto the community consultation purely because there was a resident or residents who asked for it and had asked for it to be on the Fund My Neighbour State Government funding scheme. It didn't get enough votes for that funding, but quite a few councillors thought it was prudent to go out for consultation. It was only the first stage in that particular investigation was going to community consultation. There was still a long way to go with the processes of that, and I would like that noted by everyone here that there was never any decision on a dog park at Cadell. It was just under consideration. Thank you. Councillor Villescu, you wish to talk to it?
Yeah, look, I've had some experience with dog parks in my ward with Hazelmere, and it's, does elicit strong feeling on either side of the whether you're wanting a dog park somewhere or not. So I think obviously there is from the petition and some of the information received, whilst there is support for the dog park, there is quite a lot of people who are concerned. And I guess also looking at the site, I think that there's probably other locations in the City of Marion that we can consider. I think what we need to be aware of is our engagement process. It comes to an issue will come to council, we'll put money aside and we'll go to the community and say, look, this is what we're thinking, what do you think? However, sometimes the information may come across to residents that council's made a decision, we're doing this, and people feel powerless. So I guess I encourage members of the community to speak to us. I am aware there was a letter that went out, and I guess it would have been good to have a contact person for that letter, because some of the issues probably weren't a bit clear because of the way they were presented, so that way we can actually have that conversation with the community and allay any concerns that they may have. I guess if there are people in the community that still wanting to have a dog park there, I guess they can negotiate with those in the community that perhaps aren't that keen, but we will look at other sites, and I do think it's important because it is something that the community residents have asked for. They want areas to exercise their dogs. We've got an unofficial dog park at Hazelmere, we've got an official one at Trott Park, and I guess having another park somewhere at an appropriate location will really be able to service the needs of the community as well as take some of the pressure off places like Hazelmere in particular. So for those residents that are here today and for those that have signed the petition, they can rest assured that Cadell's off the list. If it comes back as a Fund My Neighbourhood, it's probably something council would likely not support, but obviously they'll make that decision. But you would think council wouldn't support it if it did come back for consideration. But that would be if the community themselves put it up for Fund My Neighbourhood. So, yeah, put the motion.
secondary question now, that given what we're about to vote on, that has a bearing on that item, because Cadell would have been in the mix with this. So it is linked. But anyway, as long as it's picked up, Madam Deputy Mayor, the question. Just a general question, given the change of government and the Meringue Council's significant development plan, new development plan put to the government, can somebody just give us a quick update as to where that's at and what the timeframes are for... The new minister is Stephen Knoll, is that right? Okay, yeah. So just give us some heads up as to where this might go.
Through the chair, it's very difficult to say. The minister will need to get his feet under the desk, and there'll be a lot of things on his agenda. But we're hoping that he'll attend to the housing diversity DPA in particular as soon as we can. But I don't know if anyone has any inside information. But I would expect that it would take weeks, if not months, councillor.
Madam Deputy Mayor, there's some really exciting stuff coming from this committee. Already we've got the LED rollout happening in the north-eastern aspect of the city. Many of us went along to Sage Engineering in Tonsley only a week or two ago, and it was really enlightening. I'm sure everybody that went along would realise how enlightening it was as to what the possibilities are and the connections that Sage could create for us or point us in the right direction for. But look, we only have one independent person on our committees now. He is very valuable in this position, and we probably should be using him more to actually guide us with the technical areas we're going into. But just very briefly, in terms of our quest, or Nathan Pryor's quest and our quest with alternative energies, clearly our biggest opportunity is with the precinct down at Peddlers Creek, where we, along with two other councils, should be able to do something that Melbourne City Council did recently and opened up a wind farm in their own right. Oddly enough, it wasn't within the city of Melbourne. It was out of Melbourne, but they're actually using that wind generation to use for their carbon offsets and also to actually create energy. We have that opportunity, Madam Deputy Mayor, to actually use the landfill methane that we're currently capturing and using for electricity, along with solar and wind down there. And I really hope that this committee keeps driving that particular issue, because like Melbourne, Peddlers Creek is removed from us. It's in another council area, but it shouldn't make any difference. it's the opportunities that we have with joint operations with two other councils that we should be pursuing with rigour. So I say move.
Yeah. Okay, so Councillor Hull, I'm going to come back to you for this one because this is talking about the new dog park project update, and I am more than willing to take a amendment to that motion or whatever motion you would like to put up for that.
The bearing of Crown Street, Madam Mayor, it's important to actually get this either approved or otherwise, because during the last election, the now member for Gibson promised to put in a some sort of basketball area in there. Now, that can be done along with the dog park. It's just that it'd be really sad to actually have a basketball facility plonked in the middle of this reserve and then negate the possibility of having a dog park. So it's just a planning and strategy thing. So, and as for the dog park, you could turn the irrigation on and you have a green dog park quite easily. So, you know, it's got a lot going. It's a big
area. Councillor Hull, can we just verify the wording then that you're wanting? You've got the first one there, notes the update on the new dog park project. Two, notes the previous resolution of Council to remove Cadell Street from the new dog park project. Three, receive a further report with community engagement outcomes, draft concept plans and a recommendation for a preferred site, including Crown Street Reserve. Absolutely, we're just having a motion put at the moment. So just hang on a second, Carol. Just wait. Right. So that's moved, that motion. That's what you're moving. Have we got a seconder for that motion? Yeah. I would like to ask, is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Pryor. Okay, so Councillor Hull, would you like to talk to that anymore? I'm going to, because we were doing the motion then, I will allow you to talk to it, and then Councillor Pryor, then we'll go to questions.
It is a fairly robust piece of land. It's pretty much square, if not rectangle, and it's got three street sides with only one boundary that is residential. So it's got that going for it in terms of the impact on neighbours. And the only infrastructure on that reserve at the moment is one park bench, which is an issue because it's such a big piece of useful open space. The irrigation system has been turned off, and the area has browned off, particularly at this time of the year. So irrigation should not be a problem by simply turning it on and maybe refurbing that. The junction box and everything, control box, is still there. So I think that thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Prime.
Yeah, just quickly, I look at this. From Corey, but it would be remiss of us to not take an opportunity if it's presented, and we'll probably have to deal with some consequences later, but if this is the ideal spot for a dog park, then this is where it should probably go. So if not, I'm sure there's other things that will eventuate there. So it's just the timeliness of this, which is why we're bringing this forward. Thanks.
Deal with questions now.
Yeah, I've got a question. I guess we're putting this in the mix. Are there any other reserves that elected members or staff would consider are worth putting into the mix for the consultation? That's my
Thank you for the opportunity through the Chair to respond to that. As members have pointed out, the consultation already existing reserves that you had identified is well underway, and we are getting favourable feedback from Hazelmere. So there is an expectation from the community with this current consultation that we'll be coming back to them, advising them one way or the other. To bring another option into it at the moment would delay the process to some extent, and with due respect to members, we have identified sites as part of this process with members, and it was agreed to go forward with these sites, and others have been considered and taken out. And I'd just like Amy to give some specific information, and she has some good ideas on what might be acceptable to the members going forward.
Thank you. Through the Chair, yes, we've had a conversation earlier about some alternative sites with the Southern Coastal Ward members when we were discussing the sensitivities around Cadell, and there, we really did struggle to find an area in that location. So our December report mentioned Quick Road Reserve, and that's probably one of our most preferred alternative sites as a dog park. However, as Carol said, we're quite a ways down this process now, and so anything we do add to the mix would add 2 to 3 months timeframe to go back to the community. We probably feel we need to progress where we're up to at this stage. However, I think there's an opportunity that we've got some underutilised reserves, and I would agree with Crown Street Reserve, and there are probably another couple of reserves that could potentially provide for, I guess, ease of pressure around Hazelmere, because I think there is going to be demand beyond this project to do more either dog parks or dog-friendly reserves, and I'd like to do a bit more research into some of those spaces and opportunities. Crown Street Reserve, one of the biggest issues around being a formal dog park would be the parking constraints. So one of our sites we're looking at this year, or as part of this project, is Dumbarton, and that also is quite a local-level space. And that's why I think there will be a need to look at further spaces down the track. But there's been a lot of traffic complaints around Crown Street. There's not space to provide maybe formal parking. And we do have a risk that if we just provide a fence around some of these reserves, the demand will come and parking issues will come, similar to what we've had around sites like Hazelmere. So I think an opportunity could be that maybe when we come back in June, we see what the findings of the feedback are then, and then also perhaps from there we could do some more research into some alternative spaces, including Crown Street, Quick Road and other sites that could potentially help ease the pressure of Hazelmere and Trott Park.
Can we not have a dip tie situation here? You know, I'm talking about the Tonsley line as the latest faux pas from them, where they put all the infrastructure in the way of our bikeway. Can I just have an assurance from the staff that the proposed basketball facility proposed by Corey Wingard will not be plonked in the middle of the reserve, and that will negate it from being used as a dog park? Can we actually can we actually walk and chew gum at the same time here and put the welcome basketball, what's it called? Half court. In one part of it that won't necessarily impact on any use for the majority of the reserve.
Councillor Hull, can I make some suggestions to the wording of the motion then?
The other question I've got is, talking about walking and chewing gum, surely we can proceed with the ones that you're well advanced with and still have in the background work happening on some others. I don't see why everything's got to happen at once. And
Councillor Hull, you could then split your point three into receiving the further report on the current ones and a fourth one that there is still to be ongoing investigation into more dog parks. Yeah, and that might solve the issue. The other option is to put in there that because of the election and promises from members that nothing is progressed without a full total look at dog parks and sporting infrastructure.
Yes. Just on that point, if I have leave, I would suggest that any work that happens on Crown Street does not exclude a potential dog park, as opposed to holding up an election promise, because that may be seen negatively by both the community and people that gave us the money.
All right, so with leave of the meeting, can we revisit Councillor Hull's motion to change point three into point three and four? Mm-hmm. Councillor Telfer.
Given that we took Quick Road out because of it being within 100 metres of a piece of land that is used by the Dover Garden Club for use by dogs specifically, why are we now saying it's through you to staff, why are we now re-quoting Quick Road as a possibility?
Through the chair, Quick Road Reserve in the work that we did in analysing the sites was really the only site we could find that had the space, potential car parking, access links. The consultation that we did undertake with the Dover Gardens Dog Club, their main feedback was that they're in general against dog parks. They don't believe it promotes the right behaviour that they're trying to encourage. However, if a dog park was going to be located in the city, their preference was for it to be located near their facility because they're quite different in what they cater for. They offer a training provision, and the dog park is something that needs to operate pretty much every day. And so they actually strongly supported that site because it gave them opportunity to be close to that site and to promote their dog education programs. But as I said, I think at this stage where we've got to, we would rather progress with the sites that we have and consider alternative sites later, and that might come after evaluating the implementation of the other sites to see whether we do need that pressure eased or whether we have enough with the changes we're suggesting.
Councillor Crossland and then Councillor Telfer.
Yeah, just to clarify, my understanding is that if somebody offers some money to build something in our reserve, it won't happen without coming to council. I don't understand why people are worried that we're going to get some infrastructure built whether we like it or not. Can I just have a confirmation of that?
Through you, Your Worship. The funding would be given to council to actually direct that funding as per the promise in the election. So we would actually be running that project to put in the 3-on-3 basketball at Crown Street.
But at the same time, we could turn down that funding if it wasn't enough and it didn't cover long-term financial plan commitments.
Correct.
Councillor Telfer.
If I was a dog owner living in Mitchell Park, would I not have now the ability to exercise my dog on the oval and the southern part of the Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre, and would I not have the capacity to use that at the moment? And so would we not be putting two oval-sized premises beside each other?
Through the Mayor, yes, I believe that site is able to be used for dog exercise. I suppose the difference with a dog park is a fully fenced facility caters to a different user group in the community.
Right, I would like to move on because I think we're getting into debate about a motion and a resolution that's for the future, not for now. We're looking at what's up there now is point 1, 2, 3 and 4. So were there any further questions? No, we have a mover and a seconder. Anyone to speak against the motion? Then I put the motion. All those in favour? Against? It's carried by majority. Thank you. Moving on to the item Cove Sports and Community Club Light Towers on page 57. Someone to move that motion? Councillor Crossland, a seconder? I will second that one. Okay, Councillor Crossland, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just briefly, this is something which the club are contributing to. It's actually supporting an application to the Office of Rec and Sport to upgrade the lighting there. It's very similar to all the other applications we've had for other sporting clubs, and it completely meets our funding model through the community partnership funding that we offer to such clubs. And the rest of the information, I'll take it as read and would ask members to support this motion.
Okay, I have nothing further to say. Anyone speaking against the motion's question? Sorry, Councillor Hull.
Directed to the Chief Executive, is this the first sporting facility, an oval, sporting oval, that we're actually investing in LED lighting for in the City of Marion?
It's not LED. It's not LED.
Sorry?
It's not.
Through the Chair, and apologies, Councillor Hull, there was an error in the resolution that was submitted with the agenda, so it's been corrected up there. Resolution, I'm just trying to... which is for metal halide lights at Cove Sports and Community Centre. The pay-off period for LED would be up to 9 years, which is not cost-effective for the club, so the report provides that analysis. There was an error in that resolution.
Well, it would have been good to be told that we've got a report in error. That would have been really helpful.
Take that feedback, and we should have brought that to members' attention when it first came up on the screen.
We're actually going to have LED lighting on a sporting oval, our first ever.
Councillor Hull, the cost for the LED light fittings was $147,500, and the current cost for this one is a total of $108,000.
Yeah. Right, so the figures are wrong as well in the report given to us.
Through the Chair, apologies to members, but there was just an error in the resolution where it referred to LED and it should have referred to metal halide. The report all aligns to why the recommendation is to have metal halide lights, and that's due to the extended payback period, which would be up to 9 years.
Well, Madam Deputy Mayor, I knew I'd eventually come to this point because clearly the technology is available now. Sure, they cost more at this point. A 9 year payback period is 9 years is nothing in the scale of things, and then they start getting really cheap lighting. I don't think they've actually looked at the full picture here. The short-term gain is what they're looking at, and I think it's time to draw the line in the sand about what we think is reasonable parameters in payback periods, the environment, and the long-term financial plan for these clubs because ultimately they'll pay more.
Councillor Hull, are you asking for an amendment to the...
Well, I'm now speaking against it.
Speaking against it?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, only on
principle, nothing against the club, but it's hot. Oh, right.
You can move an amendment, or you can ask leave of the mover and seconder to change it.
If I amend it, I need to know the figures. So yes. I need to know how that motion will look in terms of figures, being the money from the Office of Sport and Recreation, our contribution and the club's contribution.
Can you speak to that, Adam?
Your Worship, the Chair, can I just clarify? Because this has been put up with one option, would it be possible to have it as a choice for the club? Because they may... Is it them that have put through this emotion?
Carol might be able to help us with that.
So at least we give them the choice of applying, because they may have a reason that they've applied for this.
We're getting that information for you
as well. So if they've got a choice, then it shows we're open to...
The other possibility is not to impact on the finances of the club any further, and that we and the Office of Sport and Rec try and meet the middle ground on it.
Through the Chair, just doing the sums on that, if council bore the extra cost, it would be another $39,000 on top of the $45,000, so our contribution would be $84,000. Now, whether we ask for some of that extra $39,000 to be shared by the Office of Rec and Sport... I couldn't answer that.
Through the Chair,
we could amend the funding model for that we put forward. However, if we put forward LED lighting at the Cove Sports Club, we would then both be setting precedents for LED across all our future sites, taking into consideration a couple of the recent...
When do we actually start getting with it? We're getting with it with street lighting, but we're not getting with it with big users of power being our oval lighting. And I'd like to ask, in terms of the long-term financial plan for those clubs, would we be doing them a favour by putting LED in? In terms of the long-term financial plan being, 15 years?
As the
ourselves a favour, and there'd be less maintenance as well.
Last usually around.
Yeah, I'd just like to confirm, because I think there is also a question on suitability for some sports with shadowing. But the other question would be, we have had a few grant applications to Rec and Sport not get across the line, and I'm just wondering how our chances would be if we increased those costs for LED, and whether Rec and Sport have previously supported LEDs or whether they'd prefer the lower cost and support the traditional light globes.
I've always stated if
and do you think Rec and Sport would prefer the LED? Would they support the additional cost in this type of scenario?
It increases our
And last question, if I may, because it is picking up on one of Councillor Hall's points. How would we go if we looked at making an application to Rec and Sport with two funding models, one for LED, on for the traditional globes. Is that a workable alternative where we go to them with two options for them to support, one or the other?
Given how competitive the funding rounds are, I wouldn't recommend going to the IRS and asking for a model that we're not quite 100% sure on. We'd really have to go in there and basically turn around and say, this is what we want, this is why we want it, and actually push for that motion.
Yeah, I'm probably gunning up the same line of questioning. You talked about setting precedents before. Has the Office of Rec and Sport funded any LED lights on football ovals before? And I know that's a pretty tough question, but do you know the answer to that?
Within the city of Marion, no. In regards to other sites, yes, they have. Out in the northern suburbs, they've recently just done the soccer facility in LED lighting.
Okay, so that sounds like a precedence to me. So they call soccer football in some parts of the world.
I welcome the stereotypes, Your Worship. I'm wondering whether it is up to us to actually dictate what lighting model we should use, and whether that should be left to the clubs. And I asked about soccer and football because there's probably less looking up with soccer than there is for football. And I was also wondering, whether we would leave the door open for the club to decide. So is there an option for us to actually put forward a motion, give the club the choice whether they wish to, and they make the consideration whether they wish to go to Office Rec and Sport for 65 with metal hydride, or they go higher for LED. So there's two questions there.
Yeah, through the chair, look, all the conversations that we've had with the clubs in consultation with these lights, the only consideration that they have is that they meet the 100 lux lighting requirements. Whether they're LED or metal halide hasn't come into the conversation. As long as they meet the lighting requirements for them to be able to play the night games at 100 lux, that's been their number one consideration. Secondly, look, they would go for LED, absolutely, if council was paying for it every single time. If they weren't asked to... If we were to go back to the Cove and say you can have LED but you need to provide an extra $5,000 for funding, they would probably decline it on the basis that metal halide meets their requirements.
Councillor Hull, I'll come back to you. Do you want to move an amendment to the motion? Councillor Hull, can I then just direct your attention to the amended motion that you're moving? Is it correct that in point two you want to endorse an allocation of up to $84,000 that comes from council, or were you wanting more to go in the bid to Office of Sport and Rec? I need to clear up that question.
Of Sport and Rec, consistent with what they've done in the north.
So, Mr. Mifsud, would you like to explain that, please?
Yeah, through the Chair. So, Councillor Hull, the way I understand it is the cost of LED would be up to an additional $39,000. So by increasing it there to up to $84,000, that gives flexibility to potentially get some further funding from the Office of Rec and Sport. So by having the resolution of up to $84,000, that the flexibility that you need is accommodated within that resolution. Yes. Yeah.
Point. And if that's the inducement that might be required, then so be it.
Yeah.
So I'm just ascertaining from Mr. Mifsud about the point one, where it says only $56,000 for the Office of Rec and Sport. Do we need to increase that? So it would be 70-70?
Yep.
Are you happy with that change? So 70 for Office of Rec and Sport, 70 for Council, and still the same amount for the football club. Okay, Councillor Pryor, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I'd like to second this. For the reasons stated before about precincts, with the support of the ward councils, of course. I mean, if the ward councils don't want us to... I mean, this is a little gamble, let's say. If the ward councils aren't happy to take a little gamble and try and get a better result for the community, then I'm happy to step back from this. But if the ward councils are happy, then we're in this for the long haul. We're going to fund these lights for the next, I don't know how many years, so I don't see any reason why we wouldn't buy as good as we can go, you know, go as good as we can go. And if that sets the precedent for lighting throughout the rest of the sporting parks in the council, then so be it. And we'll benefit from that. The more of these lights we install, the more we benefit. So I endorse this.
Is it a question, Councillor Valescu?
The question is, who saves the money on the electricity? No, can someone clarify who will save the money on the electricity?
Through the Chair, that'll be the club.
So not the ratepayers?
The club are responsible. The club's not financially viable to be able to undertake that, I believe.
If they're saving money on electricity, then would that money be available?
Through the Chair, if I just may, I think that probably adds another layer of complexity to that, and and I think the club would be concerned around that. I think what we want to do with the football club is work with them to build their membership and build their long-term sustainability. So our advice would be not to add that extra requirement in at this stage for this application.
Councillor Hull, you have a question.
Madam Deputy Mayor, I asked that question a few moments ago, who would get the savings from the LED lighting, and I clearly heard the staff tell me that the council would. Now, a few moments later, it's now the club.
Now, I think that was on infrastructure and the globe. That's where we get saving. So council gets saving on the infrastructure and how often we replace the globes, but it's the club gets the funding on the reduction on the utility costs.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Is it last question?
My question is, can we give the club the option to have the original proposal if they prefer that, as far as the 56 and... is there that option in the motion? Because I'm not comfortable with us actually dictating the terms to them.
That's up to us as a council to decide on those things, because it's our infrastructure. It's not the club's infrastructure, and if it's a saving for us on infrastructure, that would be a matter for us, surely.
And Through the chair, we don't anticipate the club having any negative response to this change. It actually gives them a reduced electricity bill, so it would be viewed positively.
Okay, I need to put the amended motion. All those in favour? Those against? It's carried by majority. Right, okay, so we've now adopted that as the motion. So is there anyone talking against the motion? Question on... You've had three questions. Sorry, Councillor Velescu. Tell your neighbour. Okay. All right, so I'll put them... we can close. It's Councillor Crossland to close.
Oh, look, I'm not sure whether I should be closing, but either way, look, I support the motion. Look, it's a great benefit to the club, and I'm grateful that councillors are willing to invest more money in LEDs, which will ultimately save council and the club a lot of money. So thank you.
I put the motion. All those in favour? Against? It's carried by majority. Moving on to the Warridale Park Tennis Club development on page 61. Moving by Councillor Pryor and seconder.
Question first.
No, move and second first.
I'll move and I'll ask a question.
Okay. Who's seconding? Councillor Hull. Do you wish to speak to the motion, Councillor Pryor?
Can I ask a question first without impacting on my time?
Yeah.
The question I've got is around, the motion as it reads is fine. The question I've got is around the funding, and Mr. Mifsud might be able to help me out here, that previously we'd assigned funding in the long-term financial plan for this, for the club room upgrade, and that's the funding we're looking to shift towards the courts. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that's how I understand it, Councillor.
And does this motion assign the funding back to that same place for the additional funding in point six? Just essentially replace that funding. If we take that 125 and we put it towards the lighting at the courts and then replace that funding, does that motion accurately do that?
Just in regards to the funding that's already in the long-term plan for this particular facility?
Correct.
You'd want to just make sure that you've got both covered, because effectively how I understand this particular resolution is that you're looking at getting an additional $125,000.
That's correct.
So you'd want to make sure that's clearly stated in the resolution then.
So can we change that so it's clearly stated in the resolution, please?
So it does say in point six, in an additional allocation of up to $125,000, do you want something there to say that's in addition to the previous 125? How do you want that stated?
This would be a lot easier if the numbers were slightly different. So work with me here. What we have is we have $125,000 in our long-term financial plan for the club development. Now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to move that to fund a shortfall in lighting, and then what I want to do is replace that $125,000. So effectively what I'm trying to do at the moment is ask Council for another $125,000 in the long-term financial plan to cover the money that we're bringing forward to cover the lighting, which is a federal election promise which we are now executing.
So Mr. Mitzvah...
And people are nodding, so that's right.
Through the chair, if I can add in... is that does do that. So the second resolution reallocates the 125 that was originally put towards the club rooms to the court redevelopment. And then resolution number six puts in an additional 125 towards the club room refurbishment, subject to getting external partnership funding as well. The reason we needed to have that complicated thing was previously council had passed a resolution that had 125 directed to the club rooms. So this just amends the previous resolution and adds an additional 125, if that makes sense. Yep.
Is everyone following? Can I speak to the motion now? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. The reason this had to be so convoluted, from my understanding, is that if we go ahead and put $125,000 into the budget for next year for the lighting upgrade, it's not next year yet, and we can't actually execute that project straight away. So that's why this has become a little bit convoluted. But essentially what we're trying to do is ask for $125,000 for the lighting upgrade. It's not that complicated. We said we were going to do this when we started on our tennis and netball journey. We said we were going to get rid of some of the courts that were underutilised and we were going to improve others. And this is us going through with that plan. This is quite a nice tennis facility, and it's only going to get better. And there is some timeliness to this because there is a promise from Nicole Flint as per the federal election, I think it was a couple of years ago now. So with that in mind, I commend this motion.
You wish to speak to it, Councillor Hull?
Yeah, just briefly, Madam Deputy Mayor. Look, Councillor Pryor's summed it up pretty well. This is the opportunity for Marion Council to walk the talk, to actually, go for the ace, serve it up, but not foul the club at the same time. We went through quite a bit of angst with Tennis South Australia. It was well reported in the paper. There were misunderstandings about what the council's mission was. This sort of motion is us walking the talk and actually demonstrating to the community, particularly the tennis community, that we weren't in the business of winding tennis back. It was a matter of actually rationalising some of those tennis courts that we've actually closed down. Were being used by a handful of people, half of which were one family sometimes, and they were locked up. They were locked up most of the time for exclusive use. Now, by doing this, we can demonstrate to Tennis SA that we were fair dinkum about our mission and create a credible tennis facility in Marion, or another one, because there's more than one. I accept that. Marion is another one. In fact, I'm led to believe that this particular facility has an advantage over the one, the Taj Mahal of facilities in the southwest, being the one over in Seacliff Park. The big problem I have over there is the prevailing winds that really play havoc with tennis sometimes. So, it really has the opportunity to be a standout tennis facility, given the help that they've given to themselves, being a very viable and active club, the help from the federal government, the help from the state government, and the help from us. So it's a tripartisan, or more than that, approach to this facility to actually make it a quite a substantial and respected tennis facility, something that we as a council should start to feel proud of. So I'm happy to second it.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Moving on to the Morville Park Oval expansion on page 67. Do I have someone to move the motion? Councillor Velescu, seconded by Councillor Crossland. Councillor Velescu, you wish to talk to it?
Yeah, look, I move the motion as is. I think the traffic issues that have been raised in the past, also looking at the possibility of extending the oval because of its odd shape, I think was something that is worth investigating. So I also note in this report that once we get to a certain stage, we will, and get an idea of what we're doing, we'll go out to the community. So there still will be a fair bit of flexibility to change things and adapt. We won't be going with something that's sort of set in concrete that can't be changed. And I think that's important because that area is a bit of a tight space. So I do welcome that and, look forward to something happening on that site very soon.
Councillor Crossland? No further comments. Anyone speaking against the motion? I put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Moving on to the Marion Bowles Club kitchen upgrade on page 72. Someone to move the motion? Councillor Telfer, seconded. Councillor Crossland, do you wish to speak to the motion, Councillor Telfer? And I'll come back for questions after them, because they might be answered in this.
The Marion Bowles Club have waited for some time to get their kitchen upgraded. They are prepared to put in a small amount of money. They tried under Fund My Neighbourhood to get this across the line and didn't. We are being asked to look at one-for-one funding, so if it gets across the line with Office and Rec and Sport, we're being asked to support also. I guess the question is going to be about the fact that this is a subset of Club Marion, Marion Sports and Community Centre, and that they do allocate monies around. They have allocated monies in the past to the Marion Bowling Club, and obviously at this point they're unsuccessful in receiving money from Club Marion. So I put this to you and I support it.
Councillor Crossland. Sorry, who seconded? No, we go to the speakers first, so do you want to speak to it?
Oh, just very briefly, Lord, I welcome the contribution from the club, and this this matches our policy on funding, part funding, 50-50 funding, so definitely would support this motion.
Right. Now, question, Councillor Hull.
It's a shame the staff have gone, all these questions about clubs, but how...
No, they're still here. They haven't gone. Well, I think they can stay up here for the rest of all your reports. Thank you, Carol.
The viability of the club, now, I stand to be corrected that when we were going to have the big redevelopment over here that never was, there was some suggestion that this bowling club was maybe struggling a bit. Or have I got that mixed up with the croquet club?
Correct, it's the croquet club that is struggling. The Marion Bowls Club are sitting around about a $45,000 cash surplus at the moment.
Right, okay, well it's good to know. The other question I have is, in terms of the rest of the building over there, I must admit I've never been in that building. We've had concerns before where we've actually spent money on kitchens and toilet blocks only to find the rest of the building was about to fall down around it. What is this, generally speaking, what is the state of the rest of the building?
It's in an average state. We had the building condition audit done, as you know, a few years ago, similar vintage and standard to other facilities, but a kitchen upgrade will definitely be an improvement. The actual facility, if you go in, the club have done quite a lot. It's quite a high standard in there, actually, if you go and visit the bowling club.
Well, that helps my decision making. Thanks very much.
A question, Councillor Appleby?
I just wanted to ask, is there any chance that building will go under any redevelopment of that site?
Council is currently negotiating a 21-year lease on that site, so it's highly unlikely. Council may consider it as part of the community facilities strategy, but at this stage, no consideration has been given to that.
Okay. Anyone speaking against the motion? Yes, I will allow Councillor Telfer to close.
We have a facility that at least has a good roof with solar on it. We have 225 members. And we have meals, over 100 people a week come for meals there on a Friday night. So the kitchen's going to be invaluable, especially for those meals every Friday. That is all voluntary work, which is quite laudable. And the people that come, a lot of them come from Norfolk Estate, so they're people that don't get together regularly every week, and so they have somebody to eat with that, They also have some groups like the Deaf Society that come from Mills on the Friday night. So it's a very worthwhile patronage that is supported by the kitchen.
Okay, I put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. We move on to page 77 for the Hallett Cove Heights playground investigation, and I will move that motion. I'm looking for a seconder. Councillor Crossland. Okay, so I'm moving the second 4 points, but I want to discuss point one and ask staff a question on point one. So, seconded by Councillor Crossland. So, I am moving that we are going to go ahead with Skipper Close Reserve Playground and the Brooklyn Street Reserve Playground. But I do have a question on point one, where it says endorsing the renewal of the Cove Sports and Community Club Neighbourhood Playground in the next 4 to 8 years. I would like that to read that it's not definitely a neighbourhood playground, but we investigate what playground goes in there in that 4 to 8 years, so that when that replacement comes up, that is revisited. Okay? So, but the seconder, he agrees to that, so I'm not sure on exact how we should word that. Can we have some consideration? Well, I'm not saying it has to be a neighbourhood one. We can investigate what level it is at that time.
Pulled out, and then it would be endorsing a playground in the next 4 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. Okay. And I just wanted to, so I'm talking to the motion. Just on that motion, there's a lot of comments in there about people in the community and what requests there have been. I would like to make note that it was something that was talked about in the previous council, and during this council we've had it on our ward briefings since we first started this council. Now, that doesn't come through in the notes, but it is has been on ward briefings, and there has been a lot of requests to ward councillors regarding the Skipper Close playground. So I do want to mention those two things. The other thing I just needed to mention was with the playground at the Cove Sports Centre, that currently with the way that those grounds are situated, and there is the bank of trees and a steep embankment on the side where the playground is, for any residents or anyone in the community trying to get to that playground, if the Cove Sports Club is not open, they cannot get up in the lift up to that level with a pram or little kids' bikes or whatever. There is no path and access easy for neighbours. So that has always been a problem and is one of the comments from residents as to the problems with that sports centre playground. Even though it is on the map looking close to where they live, it's a steep climb up the hill to get to the Cove Sports, and there's no access to the playground from the road or path. They have to be able to go up in the lift if they've got a pram. So that's a lot of the comments that have been made with that there. So, Councillor Crossland.
Just very briefly, I'll echo everything you said, but the other thing is with Skipper Close, it is located topography-wise on the bottom of a hill, so it's not easily accessible, that's the Cove one, to those residents. It's quite a steep walk up there. And also the reserve itself is fairly sloping, so there's not a lot of usable space for other forms of play, but it does lead to the lower field river area, which may be something we could explore in the future.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Question? Councillor Holt?
In terms of the total cost, it says funds up to $95,250. Is that... $190,500. Is that for both playgrounds or each? Or
through the chair, yes, $190,500 is for two local level playgrounds.
So the total cost is $190,500.
Correct.
Okay, and we're actually getting rid of the playground at Cove Sports Club with 50 metres away. Is that what's happening?
No, the idea is that Cove will be developed in 4 to 8 years and we would add Brooklyn and Skipper on top of the Cove Sports Playground.
But they're 50 metres apart. Like, it's just like they're here and they're the new playground, Skipper, which I'm probably happy to support, but to have, well, it's not consistent with our model, is it? Well, it's one or the other, isn't it?
I guess through the chair, the Cove Sports has not reached the end of its useful life yet, so it's not ready for removal.
So are we in conflict with our well-understood model?
I'll answer that, Councillor Hull, because the actual topography of that area, and when we have our policy, we were looking at what were the topography difficulties with each area. That is why this is needed at each end. The Cove Sports one will not be removed at the moment. People at Cove Sports can still play with it because it's still usable, but we want to review what happens, and that's why I said I wanted taken out the neighbourhood playground, because we can review that very question when it comes back in 4 to 8 years.
So this is the dilemma with having the chair moving motions. It's very hard then to divorce yourself from leading debate. And I have this issue with Mayor Hannah as well, moving motions, so maybe we need to talk about that as a group a bit later. But look, if it was the case that after its useful life, 4 years' time or whatever it is, that the Cove Sports Club playground would go, I'd feel a bit better about it. But, you know, it just seems to be an overindulgence within a 50-metre area. Consistent with the Crosland outlook.
I have a question as to how this fits into the playground strategy policy. I mean, we have a list of playgrounds which are going to come up and be renewed or not be renewed. So this is a new playground. Was that in that forecast at all?
No, this is a new playground.
So it's not in the playground strategy at all. It's just something that's completely new.
Correct.
Just a question, how far is the Skipper Close playground to Cove, and what is the topography from staff's point of view? Because I believe it's a lot more than 50 metres.
Through the chair, if you have a look at the playground mapping, Skipper Close is just outside the 500 metre radius from Cove Sports Club, and the topography is very steep from Skipper up to Cove.
So it actually does meet our policy of being over 500 metres from Cove?
Yes,
it
does.
I think that you've referred to is probably where there's misleading, is that if you go underneath Lonsdale Highway and through Hallett Cove, you can get to another one in Hallett Cove, but it's not a well-trodden track to, and it's not a potentially safe route.
Yeah, I had a question about a typical resident living halfway between the two playgrounds. You either walk up the hill to get to one playground, or you walk down the hill to get to one playground, but then you have to walk up the hill to get back at the end anyway. So how does...
If you lived in the middle, you'd be living at Cove Sports Club.
One of the playgrounds is at Cove Sports. So...
That would be in the middle.
It can't really be in the middle unless Cove Sports is...
In the middle, so people could use... If you live around Cove Sports, you could go to Cove Sports. If you live at the bottom of the hill, you could go to Skipper. If you live right at the other end of the estate, you could go to Brooklyn.
So we've got two extra playgrounds here.
Okay, is there anyone speaking against the motion?
Because we've had questions. I think I have to, Madam Mayor. If there was a proposal to phase out the one at the Cove Sports Club, that's not on the agenda. We've got two extra outside of a fairly thrashed out understanding we had about playgrounds. I'm happy to support one tonight. And you can keep Cove as well, but I'm reluctant to support two. I think it's a stretch. You know, it's what, 80, 85, hang on, what have we got? 95,000 dollars too far, if you like, Madam Deputy Mayor. And I think we're being generous then.
Are you speaking for? Thank you, Councillor Telfer.
I've been to the site. I've walked up from Skipper, and then after that, having got to the Cove Sports area, you have to walk up the premises, into the premises in a difficult way. It is a most difficult route, and as a parent, I would find that quite difficult. We do have times when we break this precedent. We're about to put a playground in the Marion Open Swimming Centre when outside that door we have got a very large, a very attractive facility coming. So there are times when, in spite of all our rules, common sense prevails. And I actually think, having walked up from Skipper Close, that in this case, common sense prevails. It feels in a new area where you have young parents, young families. We know Skipper Close will be well used. We know Brooklyn Drive will be well used. And at the time when sports are on, we know Hallett Cove will be used as well. So it's about usage as well as the rules in this case. There are other examples that I could give around that whole space where we have heavily invested across the road in Oaklands, and we're going to put in another nature play within a stone's throw. We do that because it's appropriate, and in this case, this is appropriate.
Anyone else speaking against the motion? All right, then. I take Councillor Telfer has closed beautifully for me, so I put the motion. And those against? Carried by majority. Moving on to the Playground Works Programme on page 89. Can I have someone to move the motion, please? Councillor Telfer and seconded Councillor Vlescu.
We have discussed this list, which is part of number 4, as the critical bit. It's an important list, but we would note on that list that we have got there, the enterprise data warehousing, BP reporting solution, and the project management system. And so the motion that's later...
I think you're on the wrong resolution. Sorry, Councillor Telfer. We're looking at the playground.
Just before...
on page 89. So we're dealing with the Playground Works Program.
Sorry, I jumped.
Sorry, so... Councillor Vlescu, is that the one you were wanting to move the motion for? Did you move that? All right, so Councillor Telfer, were you still interested in that one, or were you...
Yes, I'll so move.
Okay. All right, so can we ask you to continue talking on this one?
My apologies. We have done some solid work on this playground strategy. We have a list there that is important to us all. It spreads throughout our city. We're pleased about that. I am very pleased, personally, to see George Street on that list, the three-year list later on, because it's a heavily used playground. So I recommend that we have got some of these elements right in this plan, because we have been to ward briefings and worked on all these individually. Then from ward briefings we've put this together as a whole scenario. So I believe it works.
Councillor Vlescu?
I think this, if done right, this is the sort of thing the community wants from their council. It's the services they can see. And is very valuable for the families that use them. So, and we're having some very exciting spaces around the council area. So I put it to council to support this framework.
Question, Councillor Crossland.
Yes, thank you. Bearing in mind the questions raised by Councillor Hall, how many on that bottom of that list are in breach of our policy of 500 metres? Bearing in mind, I believe Councillor Telfer mentioned the Oaklands Estate one is in breach of that policy.
Through the Chair, there was a playground works map in the previous resolution that shows where the intersecting circles are. I haven't done the calculations as to which ones on this map intersect within the 500 metres.
Your question been answered, Councillor Crossland?
At the moment, I'll just go and have a review of that map to see if
Is it necessary to have point three in this motion, given that we already voted on it in the previous resolution?
Through the Chair, when we were preparing the reports, we did not know which way Council would. We couldn't preempt the decision Council would make, so we prepared the report.
Well, so that point three could be removed then?
They need the operating and maintenance costs in there for point three and four.
There's a danger in having repetitive motions.
Through the Chair, the previous report that you considered said consider funding. This is now asking you to endorse the funding.
That's it, endorsed. Or considers, yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
But in any event, we consider it all again when the budget comes up.
Yes, very true. Okay, Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I now have my second question. So the Oaklands Estate Reserve looks very close to Rajar Estate Reserve. Could anyone tell me what the distance is between those two playgrounds? Or maybe the local elected members know if it's within 500.
I think, as one of the members pointed out earlier, we do have to be a little pragmatic when we're looking at this because there are several areas where you'll see some overlapping. If you're going to be exceptionally prescriptive about the 500 metres, there'd be a few playgrounds we might want to look at. But as the Deputy Mayor pointed out, this has been through quite a few elected member forums, so we've been guided by the members in developing this plan.
Is that another question?
The Roger Rashid Foundation, it's quite a different sort of circumstance. I'd just like to know that we're talking about, if we're talking about placements in terms of, I don't want to sound like Councillor Gard, but equity. Councillor Pryor pointed out to me that on the list that there's really only one playground proposed in the Warrikowie ward. I guess maybe it's an opportunity for staff to qualify that by pointing out that it's actually going to be a substantial playground, and there's different. And this is where I was going with my opening comments about Rajar. There is different pecking orders of playgrounds. There's playgrounds and there's playgrounds, if you like. And if I had my way, there would be destination playground or two. But I don't have my way. So was that a fair comment, that there are playgrounds and there are playgrounds?
Through the Chair, I'll answer your first question about allocation on awards basis. If members would like to go back to the criteria in which we assess renewal of a playground, that's what we're talking is a renewal program here. So it depends on the existing life, it depends on the condition. There's a lot of criteria. It does not consider what ward it's in, and that's why this three-year program may have a few more in a ward. In the following years it may be different. So it's assessed on those criteria.
The substantial playground?
It's classified as a neighbourhood playground.
Right, so...
In line with the service levels that members have adopted.
Right. Okay, so Councillor Pryor and I will take that on the chin.
Okay, so is anyone speaking against the motion? All right, do you wish to close, Councillor Telfer? Okay, I put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously.